SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here on the grid. 844-843-6879 is the number. They've started the second half at the Garden, and the Warriors are extend. 64-49. They now lead the Knicks. Curry did hit another three, so he's got five now here in this game. We need DiVincenzo to help out a little bit. I mean, geez, help us out a little bit here.
We hit that Red Wings, Carver. The Red Wings tied it up.
Did the Red Wings score? How about that? We didn't hit it yet, though. Easy there, Matias. We didn't hit it yet, but we're in good shape. That's for sure. Good shape. So that was a good buy. We had the Red Wings 230, 240, 250, wherever you got it there before the end, and they scored 30 seconds in to the third period. Not even 30 seconds in. It was less than 30 seconds into the third period. So we got a 2-2 game there, and we got ourselves a nice fat Red Wing ticket at home, and they've been playing good hockey. So that was a good one, Matias. Let's now finish the job. And then we could say it's a winner. Let's go, baby. Late night. Get fired up here. I'm also going to get Matias going about his Falcons. I want to hear what he has to say about a few things that have gone on in Indianapolis so far this week here. So 15-point lead for the Warriors, make it 14. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates, Carver and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you aboard. Carver sans Lisi, no Joe, he's out on assignment, and he'll be back with us next week. But we're hanging with you. We got a lot to do this hour. I got some football for you. We got to look at Friday's slate, which is pretty good in the NBA. Decent in hockey. Not great in college basketball, of course. Everybody loads up on Saturday. But there are a few games of significance that we can talk about there. As far as the combine goes, and listen, that's just where everybody is. You know, now you're getting into the players talking, and the players starting to actually do a few things. I know everybody was all jazzed up of day one. I guess the D linemen were running. Who's the kid? Chop Robinson from Penn State with a 4.448 40. I mean, that's great. I mean, that's like I heard. This is what everybody was wowed about. On Thursday in Indianapolis was the Chop Robinson 40 time. That's all fine and good. I'm glad that he's fast. He plays defensive line. He ain't running 40 yards down the field. If he's running down 40 yards down the field, you got a problem. I need him to be able to beat offensive linemen and get to the quarterback. I'm glad he's fast. But everyone wants to get all wound up. Oh, his defensive lineman, he did a 4.48. All right, great. I need him to take the quarterback's head off. That's what I need him to do. And he ain't going to get himself a full-speed run at him. You know, I need to see him beat an offensive lineman. That's what Chop's got to do. So, this happens every year. The Combine Warriors are out. Combine Warriors. Give me the tape any day of the week. I'm not saying there isn't a use for this stuff. I'm sure there is. But I need game action. That's where I think you really get the best determination of these guys and who's good and who's bad. But you're going to have the quarterbacks out there on Saturday throwing with nobody in their face in shorts. What do you learn? Arm strength? All right. Well, show us you can throw 50 yards. Show us you can throw 60. Got to be some tape somewhere that he could do that. Any of these quarterbacks throughout their year. Combine just gets you all fired up. But it's good for talking, and there's been a lot of that the past couple days when it comes to Justin Fields. Because that's the first domino that's got to fall, right? Because that's going to open up so much. Once you get your Justin Fields trade, then you know 100% that the Bears are taking Caleb Williams first. Because they could try to sell you that maybe, well, you know, we're going to talk to the Bears. They're going to take Caleb Williams first. If they trade Justin Fields, they're taking Caleb Williams first. There's no doubt about it. I guess if you want to tell me they like someone better and they would still trade it down, I could see polls making a mess of that thing one way or the other. But Fields is the first thing that's got to fall here. And Poles claims it's going to be before free agency starts that he's going to make that determination. I hope so, because I would like it to end at some point, because the Field stuff's gotten out of control. Why would the agent put the thing out with him jumping up and down celebrating and somebody in the background saying, "You're going home"? Why would we do that? What kind of smoke screen was that? Now every book where you can bet on where the guys play next all have Atlanta heavy. I know in Canada you could play those and things. You really can't play that in the States. You want Justin Fields in Atlanta, Matthias? Is that something that you're looking forward to?
If the price is right, I do. I mean, I don't want them to, you know, to give up everything that they have in their future.
Second
for
and a fourth.
Hasn't proven it in the NFL.
Second and a fourth.
Man.
Second and a fourth?
That's not bad. That's not bad. It's risky. You know, my thinking is, what, you know, Arthur Blank was afraid to go after Lamar Jackson and the longevity of his career and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know,
I've heard all
why
that
would
today
he feel
too.
Any different with Justin Fields?
I've heard all that today, too, that Arthur Blank doesn't want to pay Justin Fields all that money. So if that's the case, then once all those rumors started and the agent put the video out, then the next thing on Thursday was all of the NFL insider people and a bunch of others, they started going on all these radio shows and going everywhere saying, well, you know, be careful with that. Atlanta really wants to draft a quarterback. There's guys that they like. There's Fano might trade up. I know Gabe keeps telling you, J.J. McCarthy and a few other guys. You know, I think that would be a better spot for him than other places. Minnesota, Atlanta. I think that would be more of a fit for J.J. than maybe some other places. But you want Justin Fields or you want J.J. McCarthy, Matthias? I'll give you one more pick.
You know, I think J.J. McCarthy is a good quarterback, but I still yet, man, I don't think he did anything spectacular at Michigan to say this guy is really the next guy at the next level. They ran the ball. Michigan was a running football team. You know, they weren't a throwing football team. So we haven't seen enough of J.J. McCarthy making big-time throws for a consistent portion of the game. You know, I've heard a lot of rumors around Drake, around this kid from North Carolina, May.
I don't love a lot of these guys, I got to tell you. I don't love a lot of these guys. I do like Jaden Daniels. Maybe the Falcons trade up and get him. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Oh, my God. Hanging with you here on the grid. I'm sending you something, Matthias. What I'm laughing at. I can't say what it is. But I am. But what I'm laughing at, I just sent to you. Keep everyone in suspense here. Just to finish this up. This is an impossible discussion because none of us know. Nobody can definitively say, well, this guy's going to be great. This guy's going to be good. This guy's going to be bad. This guy's going to... You can't definitively say it. I'm sorry. There are no more locks. I was saying this to Cam the other day. There's no more locks at quarterback in the NFL draft. The days of knowing, no doubt about it, Peyton Manning is going to be an absolute all-pro you know, Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, John Elway, no doubt about it, first overall pick. There's just, that guy's not in this draft. I don't care how much they've pumped up on Caleb Williams for the last year and a half, 2 years. He's not. You know, everybody kind of thought that Trevor Lawrence was going to be that, and he hasn't yet. He hasn't completely sucked, but he hasn't been, no doubt about it, game changer either. Here's the only thing that I know for certain. I couldn't tell you out of these six quarterbacks who's going to be great and who's going to suck. But I could tell you with pretty good certainty at least half of them are not going to be good. Because that's history. Go look at all these first-round drafts where there's four, five, six quarterbacks taken in the first round. Minimum half of them wash out. Sometimes it's not even their own fault. Sometimes you're a victim of circumstance. You're a victim of which franchise takes you. Because there are franchises in this league that no matter how good you are, if you go to them, your career can get absolutely screwed. So there could be all the talent in the world for Drake May or Jaden Daniels or any of these guys, J.J. McCarthy. But if they're in the wrong situation and they're not developed properly around them and they're in a spot where maybe their owner doesn't have any patience or maybe their coaching staff gets changed, you know, three times in his first 3 years in the league. There are so many things that you are not able to predict when you are trying to figure out all these quarterbacks, how good they're going to be before they get drafted. Because you can't determine stuff like that. You can't. There are quarterbacks that have been taken in the first round in this draft in the last 20 years that probably had decent talent, but because of the circumstances that they were put in, everybody just says, oh, they suck and they're out of the league. That's how it goes. Some guys maybe don't have as much talent as others, but they get put in the right situations. Anybody really think that Jordan Love was as talented as all these other guys? But what? Look at the circumstance that he was put in, whether it was good or not. He got to go to Green Bay and not play for 3 years. That doesn't sound very good on the surface. But guess what? It ended up putting him in a situation that has allowed him to now rise and potentially be an elite quarterback in this league. Did anybody think that Jordan Love had jump-off-the-page talent when he was drafted in the back of the first round by the Packers that year? Thought he could be good. But I don't think he thought he'd be good as you just saw him be this year for Green Bay. You are a product sometimes of where you go. Now, there's a whole new regime in Washington, right? New owner, new general manager, new coach, new everything. So maybe things will be different there now for whoever goes there, whether it's Drake May or whoever. But some franchises, it is what it is. You can change the owner. You can change the coach. You can change the quarterback. You can change the water boy. It don't matter sometimes. They never win. And unfortunately for Washington, that's the case for their franchise over the last 30 years. That's just facts. So you can have all the talent in the world. If that new owner, who by the way is sitting in these quarterback interviews in Indy, which you don't see owners do, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's another owner who's new in this league and hasn't figured out yet, I need to let football people run the show. Tepper hasn't figured it out in Carolina. How's that turning out? Not very good. You think that Josh Harris, who's new in this league, has as much knowledge about Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Caleb Williams, and these guys as this guy he just hired from San Francisco? Or as Dan Quinn? No, he doesn't. But if he's just there to observe and see how the process is done, that's fine. If he's sitting in there draft night going, I want this guy, and he ends up being a hack, well, or the kid gets put in a situation that's no good, and they go and change. Maybe Quinn's out in 2 years. Quick trigger. Who knows? It's a very, very tough game, drafting quarterbacks in the first round. And we could sit here and watch them throwing shorts. We can watch their tape. We can watch all these things. They're all talented kids. They all have talent. They're being drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. But the only thing I can tell you is that at least half of this, three out of these six guys at a minimum will wash out of the league or be backups 3 to 4 years from now. Because there's no patience in the league anymore. There's a lot of bad situations. I can't tell you which three out of the six. But Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix. Three of those six guys, everybody in 3 years will say they were hacked. That was a bust pick. Because that's the way the NFL goes. You just hope that your team can make the right call. There you go. I love the NFL draft. Get me there already. I like the actual draft.
The problem we're trying to solve is that there are rich teams and there are poor teams. Then there's 50 feet of crap, and then there's us. It's an unfair
But it's true.
Game.
It is true. I mean, whether you like it or not, there are certain franchises in this league that never get it right. The Jets never get it right. Washington never gets it right. I mean, the one time Washington did get it right, it looked like, they ran Bobby Griffin into the ground, and he played 1 year. He was great. They couldn't get that right. Couldn't keep that right. Cleveland, for the most part, has never gotten it right. Maybe they're turning the corner. Who knows? Detroit has never gotten it right. Maybe now after this year they've turned the corner. Who knows? I mean, that's just how it goes in this league. Get me to the draft already. Because I hate the one thing after you get through this week is you have, obviously, the 6 weeks of mock drafts and inertia and all this other stuff. It takes you forever to get there. All right, we have a lot of games to get to on Friday night that we have to discuss. Of course, we got a lot of NBA, got some hockey as well. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. SiriusXM. Channel 159. Rocking with you. I want to get to a lot of the action for Friday, but just one more thing, because Matias asked me during the break what I thought of Bo Nix. Bo Nix is a perfect example here. Bo Nix is probably got, doesn't probably have it, he factually does have the most experience out of any of these guys that are going to get drafted here, whether it's first round or early second round, whatever it is. And I do think all six guys will go at some point in the first round. I think that if guys slip into the 20s, some of these other teams will trade back up from the front of the second to go and get them. Bo Nix is a perfect example. He's got more experience because he's played like 150 games in college. He's 25 years old. He's played 150 games. He's played forever, Auburn, Oregon. And I think he has gotten better, and I think it has served him well. He is a guy that took full advantage of how many years he was allowed to play in college football, and it is going to help him have a chance to be an NFL quarterback. If he would have came out when he needed to or didn't stay after 4 years of that, I think he'd already be out of the NFL. I think Bo Nix served himself well by staying at Oregon a couple of years, putting up his stock, and he's got a lot of experience. But, once again, this is a guy who the situation that he gets put in will determine his future. If Bo Nix goes to a team that, again, changes their offensive coordinator every year, has bad offensive line play, and you probably tell me anybody that would happen to, you know, sure, they're not going to succeed. But I don't think that he's good enough at that elite talent level that he could overcome things like that, make wow plays, and win in spite of some other problems that they would have on the offense. There are guys in this league who can do that. I don't think you'd be that. But if Bo Nix found a team that has a stable footing, decent weapons, decent offensive line play, consistency in the coaching game, I think Bo Nix could absolutely win games in the NFL. And it probably sounds like I'm saying, I mean, you could probably make that case for any guy. Fine. But I think on the wow talent level, I'm not sure he's with some of these other guys. But it's all about situation. He might get put in a better situation than some of these other guys. And it might allow him to succeed more than them. Sounds like Matisse actually wants Bo Nix in Atlanta, from what he said to me.
I do. Everything you just said, I think, clicks off the boxes for me, man. You know, except the coaching, because that's yet to be proven right now. After the Falcons just got the new head coach, so
yeah,
it's a wait and see process. But they have the weapons. They're young. They're hungry. Their defense is good. They have a good offensive line, a stout offensive line. Hopefully, they stay healthy. I do like Bo Nix. I don't got a lie to kick it. But I also like right. Michael Penix. You know, I like both of these guys. Drake May, I'm not sold on. And I'm definitely not sold on McCarthy either. For sure not. But I could be dead wrong about McCarthy. You know, Gabe loves McCarthy. Gabe was clamoring about McCarthy, you know, since his first day when he stepped onto the campus at Michigan. So it's just it's a wait-and-see process, I guess, you know?
That's exactly what it is, unfortunately. It's a wait-and-see process, and you just need to hope that the right guys are in the right situations, and that's how things get done in the NFL. So, you know, you could try to break down all the tape all you want and watch them throw in their shorts this weekend, but that really, at the end of the day, is what it all comes down to. That's for sure. All right, Matias, let me get to a couple of other things here. First of all, NBA for Friday night. And Friday has a pretty decent slate. 9 games in the association, as they always love to say here. The Cavs are in Detroit against the Pistons. So the Cavs are coming off a double overtime game where they lost in Chicago. The Pistons won in Chicago on the second night of a back-to-back right before that. Cavs are laying 9 here, 222.5 is the total. I don't think the Cavs slip up here, but they could be tricky sometimes with the Pistons, these 9.5. So what have they done this year in these games against the Cavs? We can quickly take a look and see their previous meetings. Because these games in the East with them, see, like right here, 7-point game they played in Cleveland on January the 31st. Probably got some others. It just feels like whenever Detroit plays Milwaukee and Cleveland, they keep the game close. Here's another one, 110-101, a 9-point game. Right on the number, back on December the 2nd. So they've played a couple of close ones, well, relatively close within this number that we're talking about. Here's another one, 108-100. So all 3 games right around that number. And the Pistons, you know, they've played with a little bit of heart this week. You know, they got robbed in New York against the Knicks, a game that they absolutely probably should have won if they just call that foul on DiVincenzo. And then they did win the next night in Chicago. So it's probably a good spot with the 9 with Detroit at home. And the Cavs coming off, and then listen, they have a day off, but they're coming off a back-to-back where they played a wild game with Dallas and they won it. Then they played a double overtime game the next night and really looked out of gas. So that's the spot you're dealing with there. Charlotte is in Philadelphia against the Sixers. The Hornets, as we know, are pathetic. They're very pathetic. They got beat by the Bucks at home here on Thursday night. Now, the Bucks were destroying them in this game. And depending on when you got the number, if you got, which was mostly 11.5, you did cover with the Bucks. If you saw any tilted to 12.5, unfortunately, that was no good for you. But the Hornets actually outscored them in the second half and were able to make up some ground. I think they were down 19 at the half in that game. But a back-to-back for Charlotte here. And they go into Philly to take on the Sixers. And the Sixers have been sliding, of course, which is expected that they don't have Embiid in the lineup. And Embiid did talk to the media for the first time on Thursday morning. And he kind of made it seem like, you know, he doesn't care what the situation is with them. He's, you know, he's going to come back when he's ready. But he also still has no idea when that's going to be. So, you know, they've lost four of their last five games. You want to track it back even further to when Embiid went out, the record's even worse. They've slipped down to sixth in the East. I think they're going to absolutely slip into the play-in tournament, and that's probably where they're going to end up. Maybe Embiid comes back for that. They will not slip further than that. I know some people were trying to sell that. I mean, they're 11 games up on Brooklyn. They're actually, I believe, 13 in the loss column on Brooklyn. Let me get this right. 13 games in the loss column, they're up on them. There's only about 20, 22 games left. They're not going to lose every game. They're just not. Maxey and this crew is going to be able to get enough wins to where they're going to at least be in this play-in tournament. And this is one of those nights where they'll get them with the Hornets coming in on the second night of a back-to-back. You know, you look at the Sixers' schedule in March. They are not going to lose every game and completely fall out of the play-in tournament without Embiid. They play the Hornets here on Friday. In March alone, they have the Nets heads up. They play the Grizzlies. They play the Hornets again. And they do have a couple of tough ones later in the month. They do have a pretty tough stretch in the middle. They have the Raptors at the end of the month. They do have a stretch where they play Knicks, Bucks. Then they have Heat, Suns, Lakers, Clippers. They go on a West Coast streak. So, then the Kings. They do have a pretty tough... They play the Clippers twice, by the way. So, the Sixers do have a very tough middle, but that could be when he's back. That's around March the 10th, March the 12th. He ain't going to be back by then, listening to him on Thursday morning. If they got him back by that West Coast trip, which is March 20th, be helpful. Either way, whether they get him back or not, they're not falling further than 10th in the East. These teams are pathetic. The Nets, the Hawks, the Raptors, these aren't great teams. Maxey and the Sixers are going to be able to win enough games where they're at least in a playing tournament. I'll lay it with them here on Friday night with the 11 with the Hornets. The Mavericks and Luka are in Boston against the Celtics. Obviously, Luka's been hot. He's flying up the MVP board. This has got to be a national TV game. Yes, it is. ESPN game at 7:30 East. Mavs coming off a win in Toronto. And the Celtics, when they're at full strength, they are very difficult to deal with. Very difficult to deal with. But I think this number is a little too much. Give me the Mavs with the 9.5 here in Beantown. Portland's in Memphis. Portland went the entire month of February without a win. They're 15-42. They are awful. Awful, the Portland Trail Blazers. But Memphis shouldn't be laying points against anybody. Memphis -3. Give me the 3 with Portland. They turn some things around here. We flip the calendar to March, and maybe they could turn a few things for them. We'll come back, and I'll give you a couple others. There's a lot of college as well, and some hockey for Friday night. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. SiriusXM 159. Great to have you with us here. All right. One thing, Matias, before I move on here and do the rest of these NBA games quickly. You know, we went after the Islanders again here against the Red Wings on Thursday night. And that's twice in a row now they got me. I did it with Dallas also on, I guess, when was that game? Monday or Tuesday night? Must have been Tuesday night. And sure enough, suddenly the Islanders are now not just... And they didn't technically hold the lead. They gave up a goal 10 seconds into the third to tie it at 2. But then they bounced back, took the lead, gave up the lead again, but then ended up still winning the game with the Barzal goal late. And then they got an empty netter. So I guess the only good thing that came out of that for me... Well, I guess two things. One, the Islanders won, which is always good. And two is the pregame over... 6 was the winner, so at least we had that, Matias.
Hey, you can't win them all, man. I gotta say, the Islanders, they stun us sometimes. They do give up leads, yeah. but they also, especially against me, how many times have we actually bet them recently where they come, right. you know, they give up the lead like they always do, but it seems like they end up winning the game
yep.
towards the end of regulation.
That happened in the Penguin game last week too, right? And that happened in the Penguin game last week also? They ended up giving up the lead.
When I was in Vegas, and it happened to us right there. Yeah. We got all excited and just can't,
suddenly
can't
they're
close win- it out.
Suddenly they're winning these games, which is just amazing. So maybe we have to get off of it for a little while. Maybe. Might have to step back, and then they'll probably end up losing.
Or we could just play next goal of the game when they're up 3-2, and you know what I mean, knowing they're going to tie it back up and then probably take the lead again. So we should just start playing next goal of the game when they're winning, and forget about the finish.
Yeah, that's another probably good way if we wanted to go about it. That's for sure. And the Leafs did beat the Coyotes 4-2. That's the first time they beat the Coyotes at home in regulation in 22 years. I know they don't play there very often, once a year, but still, that was a kind of a weird thing going into that game, that for some reason they never beat them at home in Toronto, and they were able to finally get that done. I'm going to give you the hockey slate in a moment. Let me finish this with the hoops. Sacramento's in Minnesota against the Timberwolves. T-Wolves are -6. Sacramento's coming off getting their clock cleaned by Denver. You know, they've actually had two bad performances in a row. They got destroyed by Denver, and they lost at home to Miami. And Miami brought, like, a skeleton crew into the game. They had nobody playing. So the Kings need a little bit of a bounce back here, grabbing the six in Minnesota against the T-Wolves. The Pacers are in New Orleans against the Pelicans. Of course, these two just played on, what was that, Wednesday night. The Pelicans and the Pacers played. That was the 123-114 game where Indiana won. Now they switch venues. They'll go play a home and home. They'll play in New Orleans on Friday. -4.5 for the Pelicans this time. 238.5 is the total, of course, right where this one was. We'll see if they can get there on Friday night. I mentioned Portland and Memphis already. I did not mention this. The Bucks also playing a back-to-back after the win in Charlotte. They go to Chicago to see the Bulls. They're laying 4 on the road. I'd wait on that until you get a little closer. I'm sure on a back-to-back, you know, that could be one of those, somebody ain't going to play for Milwaukee. You could almost write that down, whether it's Giannis or whether it's Dame time. I'm sure that one of those guys will end up not playing in that game, because that's usually how things go. And the Wizards will do a back-to-back. They play the Lakers, of course, Thursday night. They'll play the Clippers on Friday night, and that game's going to be north of 2 tutties that they're going to be laying in that one. So that is a tough couple nights for the Wizards, having to spend out in Los Angeles there. And the Warriors are in Toronto against the Raps, laying a short number. Same deal. Wait and see what happens with that. Warriors obviously playing at the Garden on Thursday night. That's a back-to-back travel road, back-to-back. You never know. Wait and make sure everybody's in before you completely go all in with that one. College basketball for Friday night. See, there's usually not a lot going on Friday because Saturday there's like 130 games. But there is a few things of significance on Friday. Maybe. As we look through the whole slate, maybe there is. There's a lot of MAC games. Manhattan, Siena, Fairfield and Marist, Mount Play and Canisius. You got some Ivy, Dartmouth and Yale. Oof. This is a tough slate on Friday night. Cornell and Penn. There you go. This is a good game. Dayton visits Loyola in the A-10. Two of the best teams in the A-10. Dayton, of course, has been ranked for a while now. They're laying 1.5 on the road. Give me Loyola on Friday night to take down Dayton as the home dog. And I would bet, we still obviously have a long time before that game gets played, I would maybe even bet that flips to Loyola 1.5 by the tip on Friday night at 9 East. Loyola might even be the favorite by then. 137.5 is going to be the total there. You've got the late-night Mountain West game. There's actually two on Friday. 10:30 East, Nevada laying 2 tutties and a hook against Fresno State. And Utah State also over 2 tutties, 16.5 against Air Force. So some heavy lumber in the Mountain West coming up on Friday night for us. But other than that, it's bones for the buzzards in College Rack on Friday night. There's just not a lot there. Now, there's tons of great games on Saturday. We'll talk about those, of course, tomorrow here on Carver and Lisi. As far as the hockey for Friday night, only three games, including Philly is in Washington against the Caps. Pick'em game right now, -110 both ways and a 5.5 total. I like the over there. Caps have been scoring tons of goals lately. So, and the Flyers are coming off also a 6-goal performance against Tampa. That was on the road. Now they stop in Washington on the way home. Over 5.5, you're laying a little bit there with -134. But I like that. Arizona off the loss in Toronto has to play a back-to-back in Ottawa against the Senators. Yeah, the Senators stink, too. They're not very good at all. 6.5 the total in that one. And the Devils, who are still out in California, out west, are at the Duck Pond against Anaheim. And that's the second night of a back-to-back for the Ducks. And the Devils are -230 here in this game. So some big, big numbers for Jersey. That's a 6.5. I could see them getting that over by themselves, which they did do against the Sharks at the Tank the other night. I could see the Devils skating circles around him. Could be Henrique's last game with Anaheim, too. His trade deadline's coming up. Trade deadline in the NHL is next Friday, the 8th. They're one league that actually kind of does do it right. They, like, let 85% of their schedule play before their trade deadline. So you really have an idea who's in and who's out. They get more sellers. Now, I don't think there's going to be a lot of big pieces for the NHL trade deadline this year. There's not a lot of big names, per se. But there's a lot of big moves that happen in terms of depth, because in the NHL, more so than most of these sports, it really does take every single guy on your roster to win the championship. It does. You know, basketball, you could be fueled by a couple of stars. NFL, you have to have the quarterback. Baseball, you need the big pitcher. You need a big home run. Baseball takes a, you need a, is a big team one as well. But in hockey, you got to have guys on the third and fourth line, that third deep the pairing. If you're going to make a deep run, win 16 games and win the cup, and those are the type of deals that you'll see between now and the deadline next Friday. Started with the Tanev deal going. Tanev's a good player, and they gave up a lot for him going to Dallas. There might not be a lot of names, per se, that maybe the average hockey fan doesn't know, but they are big moves that will make a big deal for who gets to the end, because you need sandpaper in the NHL playoffs and the Stanley Cup playoffs. You need depth in the third and fourth lines, and those are the type of moves that will get made. And that's going to make a big difference for somebody down the stretch, that's for sure. And we did not get the Bruins, the Knights either, Matthias. As the Knights were in Boston on Thursday night, they were down 3-0 in the first period. They scored 3 goals in the second. They gave up one as well. So they were down 4-3 going into the third. They get a shorty from Stevenson to tie it at 4. And then they blew it with under 5 minutes to go. Oh, that is awful, Matthias. Awful.
Yeah, awful. Awful power play goal under the legs of the goalkeeper, Hill. Just, oh, you know. And the Knights had their chances. The Knights had their chances to win the game. Had 3 clean looks at the goal prior to that goal going in for the Boston Bruins. So the chances were there. Definitely a hard one to swallow. You know, it's always the worst ones when you come back from behind. You put in all that work, and all of a sudden, you know, you're down again in the game. And there it is, man. 5 minutes left in the game, and the Bruins win it right there. So tough night for Vegas.
Very tough night for Vegas, that's for sure. It's tough to lose one like that, especially when you're in it most of the night. You fight back. And the Sabres had a good win in Tampa at 3-2. Tampa, I think this is the year where they, you know, look, last year they didn't finally make it to the final, but I got a feeling they might not even make the playoffs. Now, they've got a little cushion. They're 6 points up of the Devils and the Islanders. After the Islanders got that win. But there's something a little shaky about Tampa. Not that just, they've lost a little. Obviously, they've lost quite a bit. But even Vasilevsky, who missed the first few months after that back surgery, he hasn't looked good. Tough scene for them, man. Very, very tough scene. That's for sure. But that's a tough one for Vegas. Very, very tough. All right. Carver and Lisi Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We will come back. We're going to wrap this puppy up. We've got some other things to do. The golf still in the mix as well this weekend. And Liv, we got Liv teeing off. But he's excited for Anthony Kim at 150-1, making his return. When is that teeing? That's actually teeing in the middle of the night is when Liv's. You know, they're playing in Saudi Arabia this weekend. Brooks Koepka going for the hat trick. He's won there the last 2 years. I think he's still 11-1. We want to go and grab Brooksy here before they get going out in Saudi Arabia for the Liv Golf. Of course, they're at the Cognizant at PGA National this weekend with the early group on Thursday tearing the course up. And then the late guys having to struggle. There was a couple of good numbers. There was a few. And keep your eye on Minwoo Lee. I think that he had the best day out of all those guys that went out late. I know that he was three shots back. But that's the guy that I'll have my eye on through the weekend, especially on Friday going out with the early group. Carver and Lisi Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We'll wrap it up after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio. Yeah, Sirius XM 159. All right. So before we get out of here, how about this? The Dodgers were surprised that Ohtani got married. He kept that a secret too, huh? A lot of things secrets with Ohtani. Can't know anything about the guy. He shows up. It's not like even that he showed up at camp and told everybody, hey, guys, I got married in the offseason. He was, like, there for, like, a week and then decided to tell them. Tell everybody. He didn't tell his teammates, didn't tell the team, didn't tell everybody. And then he's sitting there, he's hitting home runs, he's working out. A week later, oh, by the way, I got married. Bizarre. But who cares as long as he hits 45 homers every year? He can do whatever he wants. Because the Dodgers are already smashing teams. It's pretty amazing. It is. Get ready to pay those big prices all year for the LA Dodgers. I'm sure everybody's going nuts. I don't have enough time to get into this with Matias. Maybe I'll ask him tomorrow. They got to be going crazy for the Dodgers to start out there in LA. They can't wait. I mean, all their other
teams. They definitely are, man. And you know what? There's a great ticket package going on at Costco where you can spend $100.
Wow.
Two tickets to whatever game you want to go to. And it also comes with four beers and like $15 of or two $15 vouchers of
the food. You get that worth with the beers alone then. The $100. Probably pay $100 for four beers, yeah, anyway.
Man. So you know, I'm trying to I got the package. I got the package. I did.
You're also probably gonna see like, you know, you're also gonna get like the games against like the Rockies and the Reds. You know, you're not exactly gonna get marquee games with that package. You know, I gotta give you know, Yankees coming in. Great job as always, Matias. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Cash some tickets. See you then.